One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're having a jolly old time.
Oh boy. I heard what you were doing. I yes-anded you, like you told me to.
Yeah.
And I leaned into the American South.
Well, neither of us are in the American South, are we now, Shannon?
Well, no, but like I was just trying to be more American because you're being British because you're in Britannia.
Well, America is really a melting pot of all cultures and accents, and Britannia is just a big pot of bangers and mash.
Have you eaten any bangers and mash yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't had any bangers and mash.
Okay. In case you can't guess, Scott's in London.
Hello.
How are things?
Jolly
in,
good.
How are things in London, Scott?
I actually really love London.
Yeah, it's an awesome place.
It's a really cool town. And the one complaint I have with it is that everything closes early.
Mm.
But other than that, it's fine.
Like how early is early? What do you mean things close early?
Like if a restaurant is still open for drinks at 10 p.m., the kitchen will be closed.
Oh.
You know what I mean? But then
yeah.
They'll be closed before midnight for even things like drinks.
Oh, but then I'm sure you could find a pub.
No, the pubs too. The pubs close early too.
What? What times do the pubs close?
Like before midnight.
What?
If you want to stay out that late, you have to go to like a club.
Okay, London, that is wrong. That is the wrong way to serve alcohol in your country.
So I just bought stuff for my hotel room, like drinks and snacks, and I just come back to my hotel room late at night.
And drink by yourself.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's great.
That's a little sad. But anyway, we are here bringing you a salad from across the pond.
This is the first time we've recorded an episode across countries.
Yes, that's true. We've recorded across from coast to coast.
Our country.
Yes.
Our country.
A big country. But now we're spanning the Atlantic and a bunch of time zones. And what are we doing across the pond here, Scott? What kind of salad do we make?
A bit of veg.
I do hate how British people call vegetables veg.
Yeah, it's weird.
I really, really don't like it. And like, I can't really explain exactly why, but I think it's really upsetting to me.
Well, anyway, the veg that I spoke of is a song salad, which is a random topic plus a random genre combined to create a random song.
And we do that by spinning the salad spinner, which is a noise or a sound effect or some kind of audio prompt that we get from you, our loyal vegetarians. If you'd like to suggest a salad spinner, you can do so on our Twitter at SongSaladCast or go to SongSaladPodcast.com and look up other ways of contacting us.
Or just send the postman my way.
Oh, boy. Or send him an owl since he's at Hogwarts or whatever. We are doing the salad spinner to get our random topic and random genre, so we write a random song.
Yes. So I think we should do the next Autumn Clark salad spinner.
Thank you, Autumn Clark, Fox Hunter, premier Fox Hunter, probably because there's only like four of you, I imagine.
Autumn Clark says the salad spinner should be a lonely hippo singing the song of its people.
Aww.
Would you like to go first or should I?
Do hippos make noises?
I guess that's for us to invent.
I can go first.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they make noise.
All right. I'm gonna go first and I'm gonna try to get into a good headspace for hippo noises.
Okay. Okay. Lonely hippo singing the song of
lonely hippo. All right, here we go.
You know what you sounded like?
What?
When they spray water in your mouth at the dentist. And you tried to tell them to stop because you can't really breathe anymore.
So what you're saying is it's very accurate.
Entirely so.
Great. Spin.
Our genre this week.
Acid rock.
Acid rock.
Far out, man.
Radical.
Let's talk about acid rock. Acid rock is a loosely defined type of rock music that evolved.
The end.
Yeah. No, this is actually a very fairly involved article. So it evolved out of the mid-60s garage punk movement and helped launched the psychedelic subculture. The style is generally defined by heavy, distorted guitars, lyrics with drug references.
Nice.
And long improvised jams.
Distinguishing, not jellies.
Or marmalades. Distinguishing acid rock from other genres can be tenuous. Oh boy. as much of the style overlaps with 60s punk, proto metal, and heavy blues based hard rock. Okay. So maybe not so much a genre that has really clear, bright lines around it. But,
well, musically, no, but lyrically, I think so.
Yes. So I think we can still do it justice. And we've also done a couple other genres, including prog rock, that are either derivative forms of acid rock or were origins for acid rock.
Yeah.
So the term, which you may be wondering or you may already know, derives its name from LSD. Which is also called acid as a street name. And this is a recreational drug that induces kind of psychedelic trips.
How do you know that, Shannon? You've never done drugs.
I've never done drugs. I've never done acid.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
Don't really want to.
Yeah, I think I would. I'm too type A to do a lot of these, like...
To
more,
completely lose control of yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think I'm too type A to do anything fun like that. So anyway, so there are kind of two different styles of acid rock. One is from the American West Coast and the other is British acid rock. British acid rock kind of evolved into British psychedelia, which we've talked about before. But American groups emphasized heavier qualities associated with both the positive and negative extremes of the psychedelic experience, while it sounds like the British side of things was more on like novelty recording effects and whimsicality.
Sure. So if you think of bands like the Beatles starting out this kind of a movement with things like Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, where, you know, there's sort of strange songs like For the Benefit of Mr. Kite, you know?
Yeah.
Those kinds of albums really influenced what would then become acid rock. And, you know, that reference specifically ties in with the British style that emerged, but then the American style developed in the likes of bands like the Jimi Hendrix Experience and in Cream and Led Zeppelin, those kinds of bands. But the main roots of psychedelic rock and just rock at that time in general were blues with heavier, more distorted guitars, you know? So I think if we kind of just think about that, you know, driving 60s rock kind of feel, but then infuse it with psychedelic effects and lyrical references, we should be pretty close to this genre.
Okay. Yeah, I think we can do it. And
what song should we use as an example? Oh, you know what we didn't talk about was Jefferson Airplane.
Yeah.
I think they might be a good example for us.
I think so. What's your favorite Jefferson Airplane song?
Jefferson Airplane, White Rabbit. J Jefferson Starship.
Snakes on Jane. A plane.
No, that's a different band. That's a different band. What are they called?
Starship.
Oh, Start. Not yeah, no, Starship I know. Troopers.
No, it's like Starship.
Cobra Starship.
Cobra Starship.
No, but Jefferson Starship has a great song called Jane that's featured in Wet Hot American Summer.
But that's not psychedelic rock or acid rock.
No, that's the band that Jefferson Airplane became later on.
Oh.
See, they evolved from an airplane to a starship, get it?
I didn't know that, and that's really funny to me.
Yeah, that's them.
That's hilarious. They're like, we're cool. We're in the future now, so we are no longer an airplane.
Right.
What do you think they'd be now?
It'd be like the band Train renaming themselves Monorail.
Yeah. What do you think Jefferson Starship would be now? Like Jefferson Bitcoin? Jefferson
I think it would still be
computing.
A mode of transportation.
Yeah, but we don't have any Jefferson autonomous vehicle.
Jefferson Segway.
Yeah, Jefferson Segway. Anyway.
Well, here's our example this week. Jefferson Airplane's White Rabbit from 1967.
Great. I guess we should also just point out that, you know, White Rabbit, it's talking about, it's alluding to Alice in Wonderland. And
that seems to be a very common reference in acid culture.
Yeah, because it's like, it's Alice falling through the rabbit hole is a kind of popular metaphor for tripping and like kind of going into Wonderland or like through the looking glass and like that right. kind of experience. So this is pretty I guess I would think iconic of of that. Yeah, so clearly a drug reference but also a literary reference.
And the 60s and 70s were a pretty interesting time, I think, in terms of the creation of like television and cartoons and movies, because there was so much drug influence going on. And I think a lot of the things that we grew up watching were very heavily influenced by drugs, and we didn't realize it till we were old enough to understand that's what was happening.
Yeah, like the caterpillar smokes a hookah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a little bit unrelated to that, but I was in a children's play that was written in the 70s, and it was called Marmalade Gumdrops. And the little boy eats marmalade flavored gumdrops, and then he sees all his furniture come to life. So if that's not an acid trip allegory story right there for you, I don't know what is.
Did you ever see a cartoon film called The Point? Have we talked about this?
The Point?
It's called The Point. It's an album made by Harry Nilsson, an American singer-songwriter, in 1971. The lead single was called Me and My Arrow, and they made an animated movie based on this album that tells the story of a round-headed boy named Oblio who has to wear a pointed hat because everyone else in this world has pointed heads and he's trying to fit in.
No, I do not know what this is.
Okay.
But you watched this?
I grew up watching this movie, yeah.
Was the moral, be yourself?
Ultimately, yes.
Okay.
But it had voices from Ringo Starr, Dustin Hoffman, Alan Thicke. It was a thing.
Huh.
And he had a little dog named Arrow, which is the song Me and My Arrow.
Ah. So.
Anyway, if anyone out there has seen The Point, tweet at us, at Song Salad Cast, and we can talk about it.
I'm sure your brother is going to tweet at you
count.
Now.
Yeah.
It's just going to be your brother.
But anyway, I bring it up because it's another one of those things, like almost like Yellow Submarine, you know, which is like this weird cartoon that we grew up watching. And as kids, we were like, this is fun and strange. And now it's like, oh, they were high.
Yeah.
They were just high.
Yeah. Yeah. What's up, parents? What were you doing?
Yeah. Parents giving us drug-induced cartoons.
I think it's your turn to be a hippo singing the song of its people.
Okay, here we go. Do you hear the hippo sing, singing the song of lonely hippos? That's my lonely hippo song.
Your lonely hippo loves Boobiel and what's his bucket?
Schoenberg. Les Miserables by Boubile and What's His Bucket.
I love What's His Bucket's later work. Spin.
All right, let's spin.
What's our topic, Scott?
Give me a C.
C.
Give me an H.
H.
Give me two E's in a row.
E-E.
Give me an R.
R.
Give me the whole word athletics.
Athletics.
Our topic is cheer athletics.
I was like, I was trying to yes and you. I was trying to be a good scene partner, but I was like, this is a bad idea. It's a bad idea.
I made it go quickly.
Yeah. Cheer athletics.
Yes. Cheer athletics is located in Plano, Texas, near Dallas, Austin, Texas, Frisco, Texas, and Charlotte, North Carolina, and Columbus, Ohio. So a lot of places.
Yeah.
And it's one of the largest all-star cheerleading program, single.
Yeah, bad.
In the United States with over thousands. This is a really bad article.
over thousands
of athletes competing on 80 plus teams.
Jeez.
They have won 17 world championships at the Cheerleading Worlds, sponsored by the USASF, which we'll have to look up. I don't know. And hundreds of local and national competitions, making them arguably the most accomplished program as well.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Who wrote this?
This is horrible. Well, I mean, I did skip over the top of the page here, which says, orange exclamation point. This article has multiple issues.
Yeah, that's true. It contains wording that may promote the subject, promotes the subject in a subjective manner without imparting real information.
This article contains content that is written like an advertisement, and this article needs additional citations for verification.
Yeah.
So let's keep going.
That's just those haters at the other cheerleading conference or whatever trying to take cheer athletics down. Yeah, no, it's just those jealous betches over at Fabucheer trying to their rival cheerleading conference. Anyway, also, okay, I have so many questions already, and the first of which is, there are like so many of these cheerleading teams, but they're all competing against each other, right? So, but no matter who wins, is it always like a cheer athletics team that wins and they compete against each other?
That's a good point. I don't know if it's like a dance competition, which Megan works for a lot. There's like a national dance competition company that like has these meetups of different dance studios that all compete against each other, but there are also dance companies that or like dance studios that are part of that overarching company.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they all compete against each other or if they have like certain divisions that they compete in. So they're not competing against themselves. But the way this is written, it wouldn't surprise me if they considered any win of any of their teams, even if it was against another one of their teams, part of like what they're keeping tally of.
Yeah, because this is fish. I'm just going to assume that it's the fishy one. And you're just like creating your own market for this stuff. Right.
In 2007, their owner / coaches.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're
ranked number one in the country by American Cheerleader Magazine's list of the 25 most influential people in all-star cheerleading.
That's a list.
Are there 25 people in all-star cheerleading?
Lord.
They have won more than 70 national titles from the National Cheerleaders Association, the NCA, and have 40 medals from the USASF Worlds, both of which lead all other programs. They broke their own record of most medals given to one gym. Oh, it's a, like an association of gyms, I guess?
So it's like a Pokemon gym.
Yeah. At the Worlds in 2012, taking home 4 gold medals and 2 bronze, they almost equaled their great success in 2012 with 4 gold medals and 1 bronze in 2016, but Karen didn't fucking pull her weight.
Oh, Karen. She messes the flip tuck jump every time.
Basket toss. That's a thing.
Yeah, that's one. That's one. That's good.
That's one.
Good job.
All right. There's a long history here.
There is a very long history. Also, just FYI, the USASF is the U.S. All-Star Federation.
U.S. All-Star Federation?
Yes.
Oh, my God. And it's cheerleading isn't even part of the name.
It's the governing body for all-star cheerleading and dance.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like okay. Rhythmic dance?
I have no idea.
Rhythmic gymnastics? Their mascot is a cat.
Yeah, as you'll find out, they take the cat thing very seriously.
Oh my God, they do.
Didn't I tell
you? Holy crap.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to skip the history and maybe we'll talk about the history later.
This history is not important at all.
Scroll down to the teams section. They currently have 83 teams ranging in age from 2 to adult. All their teams have names. All their teams have levels. All their teams have sizes. And for the life of me, can't figure out the size hierarchy because some of the sizes are... Yeah. Here's some sizes.
The sizes are one of my favorite things, I think.
Here are some sizes. Small, tiny, small, mini, large, youth, small, junior, just tiny, just mini. I don't know.
Just mini.
I don't know what these... what do these mean? And what is...
Large,
is
junior, small, mini, small... Wait.
Is tiny bigger than mini? What's small, tiny?
Small, is it senior? Age level?
What is this? One team size is claw 6. What?
Claw 6. Wow. All right. Well, let's go into the names.
Yes. Okay. This is like the X-Men thing again. Do you remember when we read the like biblical hierarchy of X-Men or whatever?
Too well.
Yeah. So this is like that. So
although there's not any group out there on Twitter that's going to be mad at us with getting this folklore wrong.
I hope not, though. You know what? I bet you the people who cheer for these things take it very seriously. So we best not step on any flexible toes here.
Should we just go through them rapid fire alternating?
Yes, let's do it. Here we go.
Okay, you start.
Itty bitty kitties.
Bobcats.
Kitty cats.
Bear cats.
Arctic cats.
Twinkle cats.
Meteor cats.
Emerald cats.
Clostal kittens.
Tiara cats.
Aristo cats.
Zeta cats.
Siren cats.
Cubs.
Ocelots.
Kingdom cats.
Cougars.
Amber cats.
Astro cats.
Leopards.
Beta cats.
Cats with a K and a Z.
Cosmic cats.
Majestic cats.
Monarch cats.
Omega cats.
Sabers.
Lions.
Princess cats.
Ice cats.
Imperial cats.
Lady Diamond?
What the fuck? Lynx.
Nebula cats.
Empress cats.
Adonis cats.
Night cats. Night with a K-N.
Felines.
Fire cats.
Luna cats.
Venus cats.
Wonder cats.
Bengals.
Galaxy cats.
Dynasty cats.
Cupid cats.
Thunder cats.
Tigers.
Lady Platinum.
Regal cats.
Prowlers.
Chrome cats.
Pandora cats.
Sassy cats.
Savage cats.
Pearl cats.
Crown cats.
Jags.
Crystal cats.
Superior cats.
Alpha cats.
Fury cats.
Rain cats.
Swag cats. Hashtag swag cats.
Oh my god. Pumas.
Royal cats.
Onyx cats.
Lady Legacy.
Panthers.
Cheetahs.
Fierce cats.
Also with a K and a Z.
Yep.
Swoosh cats.
Wild cats.
King cats.
Special needs?
Wait, no, super cats.
Where's super? Oh, okay. They're like.
To the left of. They're a special needs team called the Super Cats. Special needs is not the name of the team.
Okay, the table is messed up at this part of the article, and the like the information is not in the same bucket. I was like, that's a weird one to break the pattern on.
Somebody needs to tell them that K-A-T-Z is just like a last name and not a way to spell cats.
It's just an optometrist somewhere.
Dr. Katz.
Yeah, unless, he's definitely an optometrist or an orthodontist.
Yeah, unless she's sponsoring the team, I don't think you need to call anything like Astro Katz with a K and a Z. There's also, you know, no consistency with the taxonomy of what gets locked up to be a single word and what is two separate words. So like emerald cats is one word with an intercapped C, but something like empress cats is two words with
right.
title case E and C. What the
and
heck?
What's the deal with Lady Diamond and Lady Platinum?
I don't know. Lady Legacy, it's like the one thing... I don't know.
They're all small senior.
I don't know levels. What that means.
There's no way to find out.
I mean, I'm sure there is, but like, I'm not going to use my life to do this. I also like to have alpha cats. Like, I guess I get that, but then to have beta cats? Like, who wants to be a beta cat if everybody else is an alpha cat?
Yeah.
And just the felines. Oh, there are so many good things to unpack here. Yeah.
I'm looking at the results, the medals and things.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a pattern of a certain, you know, group of teams seems to be at the top here.
Okay.
So I think the Super Cats, the Wild Cats, the Panthers, the Fierce Cats, and the Swoosh Cats are like the best teams as far as all their medals go.
Gotcha.
I'm happy the Swoosh Cats are there.
Yeah, the Swoosh Cats... just.
Do you think they say swoosh on three?
Yeah, I think they say the whole name. I think they say swoosh cats on three. I think they all have little matching windbreakers that say swoosh cats on them. I bet
and swoosh
you,
is in italics.
Yes,
for sure.
Oh my gosh, definitely. I think more than one of those girls has gotten drunk on some occasion and gotten the Nike swoosh tattooed on her butt somewhere. Like I think it's all of that, all of the above.
I didn't even think about the Nike swoosh.
Yeah, because like that has to be where that comes from, right? Like athletics and swoosh and Nike and performance. And
you're probably right, but I'm sure that Nike has not sponsored them and is not giving them license to use the swoosh.
No, certainly not. But you know how people are.
So we need to write an acid rock song about cheer athletics.
Right. Acid rock and use some drug references and influences.
We can do that.
Yeah. We've done weirder.
And I would like to do a pretty heavily acid influenced song here rather than just like a rock song that like hints at acid. You know,
you mean like
I'd like there to be effects and like psychedelic kind of sounds and instruments and, you know, bringing in those things that make Sergeant Pepper and White Rabbit like what they are, you know.
So let's talk about that. So what are some of those like instruments and sound effects that are associated with acid rock?
I think a lot of times it's just like the unexpected, or things like Dark Side of the Moon too. Mm-hmm. You know, like the song Money, there's like a lot of those like cash register sound effects and things to go with it. So it kind of puts you into this world of what the lyrics are referencing. Mm-hmm. So there's I think a lot of times there are sound effects that go with the lyrics. Or for instance, in For the Benefit of Mr. Kite, they talk about, of course, is it Harry? Harry the Horse? No, Henry the Horse? Henry the Horse, I think.
I don't know.
I'll have to look it up. Dances the waltz, and then there's like a waltz that happens that sounds like a merry-go-round calliope, and then like sounds of a horse whinnying, you know?
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So like things that kind of like take you out of the world of the song for a second and into the world of a specific lyric or reference, and then back into the song again.
So obviously there are some, I mean, like we can incorporate Cheers.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Like, totally.
It is Henry the Horse, by the way. I was correct. Thank
okay. Harry the Horse is from Guys and
Harry
Dolls.
Harry the Horse is from Guys and Dolls. Got my brain wires crossed there a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to look up, maybe find some YouTube videos of the Cheer Athletics performing.
Oh, yeah.
And then you want to look up or start on your band, and then we'll meet back here.
I like it.
All right, sounds good.
See you soon.
Bye.
Will Shannon find YouTube videos of Cheer Athletics competitions? Will Scott create his acid rock band, and will there be funky bass? Tune in next week for the exciting conclusion of episode 92.
One, two, three, four.